Recordings have been started, Natalie.
Thank you very much, Jamie. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the NextGen RDS PDP Working Group call on Wednesday 19th, 2016. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call taken. We'll take attendance purely via the Adobe Connect room. So if you are connected via the audio bridge only, please let yourself be known now. Hearing no one. As a reminder to all participants, please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noises. Thank you ever so much, and with this, I'll hand the call over to Chuck Gomes.
Thank you very much, Natalie. This is Chuck. Welcome to those of you who have joined our alternate time meeting for the third meeting of the month. Appreciate everyone on the call, but in particular those that are calling in at less than desirable times. We hope that some of you on the call are benefiting from a more desirable time than you normally get, and that's why we do this. Does anyone on the call have an update to your statement of interest? Not seeing any hands, I will move on then to the second agenda item, which is a couple status updates, and Lisa's going to provide those. Lisa, go ahead.
Thank you, Chuck. This is Lisa Pfeiffer for the transcript. Just giving a brief update on some work that's continuing going on the possible requirements list. The code review that was undertaken by the set of volunteers, we've had several of those turned in on users' purposes, data accuracy, and also still a couple of still underway on gated access, data elements, and privacy. Those who are still working on their assignments are aiming to complete those this week, so that we can have the result of the code review available for the rest of the working group. At this point, the code review really is turning up additional codes that may be necessary for some of the rows in the possible requirements table, rather than any wholesale changes to the codes that were already there. So it may be most appropriate to add those additional codes to the next draft of the possible requirements list, so we can look at those in context. The other activity that's going on with the possible requirements list is completion of a couple of outstanding documents that needed to be reviewed for additional possible requirements. The documents on internationalization, that is the translation and transliteration that Jim Galvin is working on, and then still the GDPR, which Greg Shatton and Marina Lewis had volunteered to work on. Those two sets of documents would still need to be added to the possible requirements list. We have had some forward movement on the privacy proxy, the PPSAI report, getting possible requirements out of those. Susan Kawaguchi is extracting those, and we'll have those shortly. And last week, of course, Stephanie had turned in one set of additional possible requirements from another document. So hopefully we're making forward progress on completing the effort to get the possible requirements list as complete and as coded as well as can be in preparation for deliberations, trying to wrap that up certainly by the next working group call.
Thank you very much, Lisa, and I want to express sincere thanks to those of you who are helping us wrap up some of these tasks. We're getting pretty close to starting our actual deliberation, and the more complete our triage list is of possible requirements, the less we'll have to go back and look at source documents and so forth. So thank you very much for that. and we look forward to seeing the completions of those tasks in the next week or so, or a couple weeks if it takes up more time. The big agenda item for today is the continuing our work on the statement of purpose for registration data and the RDS. And as you can see, that document is in the Adobe Connect room now. So what I'm going to do is go down to the specific requirements. Now, what we're going to, after we finish off looking at the specific requirements, which is the last section of the document, we'll go back briefly just to take a quick look at what we've done so far, just in case there are any additional comments on that. But for now, let's start off with a specific purpose number one for registration data and registration directory services. Now, we've made good progress on that one in previous meetings, in particular the meeting last week, and you can see it in front of there. Since nobody is in audio only, I won't read it for you. You can see the statement there. There's one minor edit that has just been made. Thanks for making that. I was going to make sure we added an S to GTLD at the end. But I'll pause right now. Looking for those that haven't been with us as we've worked our way through this the last few weeks, the comments that were submitted on this are to the right. They're grayed. They have a gray background to indicate that we've considered the comments and made a decision to either accommodate them or not. And you can see that when you read the comments there. And I don't want to revisit a lot of the discussion that we had on number one, but certainly if somebody has a new concern or a concern that wasn't maybe dealt with that you still have a concern about, let's talk about that right now. And Mark, I see your hand, so please go ahead.
Hey Chuck, thanks. This is Mark Anderson. I don't want to belabor this one either, but the last two portions of this one have become extraneous. You can just end this statement. A purpose of the GTLD registration data is to provide information about the life cycle of a domain name, period. Stating as specified by ICANN's diagram, but that diagram may have variations. Basically those two statements cancel each other out and are meaningless. You can just end that statement, life cycle of a domain name, period, and it has the same exact meaning. Thank you, Chuck.
Thanks, Mark. Now, I spent quite a time last week talking about what's the red-lined section that's shown in statement number one, so I don't want to minimize the contribution. I think it was Elaine that pointed out that there's not purely one life cycle. There's some variations across GTLDs, so that's why that was added. But what do people think about? I mean, do the last two two qualifications there in parentheses add essential value, or should we just end it like Mark suggests? Anybody else want to comment on that? Go ahead, Holly.
Just a comment. If we end it at that sentence, but the rest of what we do makes clear what we think is included within the life cycle, then I'd agree with Mark, we don't need this.
So you're okay with ending it after life cycle of a domain name, in other words, eliminating the parenthetical?
I am, and the reason I am, there certainly is debate on this list and probably off this list as to what it actually means. But given that this is just a charter and it's got more parts to it, I am assuming that as we move down through the charter, it will be clear what it is we think is in and out of scope. Because, I mean, the other alternative is to just stop there and then have a very, very long debate about what is or is not in a life cycle. There will be differences of opinion, and I don't know how we're going to move on from that.
Thanks, Holly. This is Chuck again. Anybody else want to comment? Is there any? Okay, good. Greg, go ahead.
Thanks, Greg Shatton, for the record. Hopefully you can hear me. I think that I agree with the deletion as well, and I think for me the reason is because this begins a purpose of GTLD registration data. So this is not the purpose, but a purpose, and rather than agonizing over what the life cycle of a domain name may be and trying to cram everything into that as if this were the only purpose, we can deal with other purposes that may not directly relate to the life cycle of a domain and list them. After all, this is only number one in a list that we haven't yet completed. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. This is Chuck again. Let me ask this. If there's anybody on the call who is opposed to making the deletion of the parenthetical information there, would you put a red check mark in Adobe? Otherwise, I'll assume that nobody's opposed to that edit. Now, I fully understand that there may be people not on the call that may be opposed to it. We will give them opportunity to comment after this call on the list during the rest of the week. So anybody opposed, please put a red check mark, and of course you're welcome to raise your hand too if you still want to comment. Okay, so for now, we will delete the parenthetical, and we will go on to specific purpose number two. Again, one that we spent a lot of time on last week, but just to give people a chance to comment one more time, let's look at number two. You can read it there for yourself. Anybody have any comments here? I'm not, what do we have in the Adobe window covering, there we go, okay, thank you. Now, okay, good. Greg, go ahead.
Okay, good. Greg, go ahead.
Thanks, Greg Shatton again. I guess just briefly, I'm trying to understand what the limitation based on agreed policy is intended to accomplish in terms of limiting this information about domain contact, domain names, and name servers. Or is this circular and we're creating the agreed policy?
Well, of course, we have the task of creating domain policy depending on what consensus we can reach, but there are also policies that are maybe already in place or that will be created by other working groups and approved by the board that would impact this. So just to give my response to that, in our call last week in particular, there was that recognition that you'll see this not only here but in other purposes that are in this section. There was quite a bit of sentiment suggesting that that qualifier be put in there. In other words, we don't just provide information for information's sake, but that information has to be consistent with agreed policy. Now, whether or not that needs to be there or not, we can talk about that. Does anyone else want to comment on that, on Greg's question? Because it's a good question. Mark, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. It's Mark. I'll take a stab at that. I think that language there is a little bit of a concession to the point people, both in previous discussions and in via email made that, we're not, there needs to be policy to decide or to specify what information will be provided and who will have access to that information. I think it was a little bit of a I think there had been various other caveats proposed, and that this language was sort of a generic compromise language that encapsulated or covered the concerns that other people raised about what information will be provided and who or how that information will be provided, as far as access to that information. So hopefully that helps give you a little context around how that language showed up there.
Thanks, Mark. This is Chuck. Let me ask Greg a question. Greg, do you have a strong opposition to that being there?
I guess my concern is just trying to figure out what it's trying to accomplish, or more to the point, what it's trying to limit or prohibit in thinking about what we currently have and who is in terms of providing information. And I guess providing is an interesting term. I mean, are we talking about, and I don't remember what the first one anymore, whether collecting is covered separately or providing and holding information, are all kind of parts of information, but not necessarily in that order. But trying to figure out what, based on agreed policy, is trying to fend off. This seems to be a kind of a fence around things. And, the extent that everything we do is based on policy, and anything that essentially gets, decided at the end of this and made into recommendations, they'll go to the board, et cetera, and then implement it afterwards, is all based on policy. I'm not sure what it really accomplishes, but if it, gives people warm and fuzzies, then I have no objection to it, although, as I said in the note, agreed policy seems to be an odd term. Is there another kind of policy? And if not, I would just either say based on policy or based on ICANN's policies, or perhaps, as Cal suggests, based on consensus policies. But then the question is there another type of policy besides consensus policy? And again, are we trying to, are we being over or under inclusive because we're trying to modify the term policy? And again, trying to get back to the point of, what is it are we trying to prohibit by saying it can only be based on policy or agreed policy or consensus policy or ICANN's policies or some other kind of policy. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Greg, for responding to my question.
So I think Mark said it pretty well, that some people were concerned that we're just providing information without any guidance. I agree with you that that is not needed, because everything's going to be based on policy. Now, I also agree with you that agreed is probably not the best word. We could say approved policy. We could get more specific like you did and say approved consensus policy and so forth. I would suggest that saying approved policy would be understood to mean approved by the board, and that, of course, that the board approves it after the GNSO recommends consensus policy. So, but I think approved is a better word than agreed. Maybe somebody can come up with a different one. With regard to your comment on providing or provide, you'll note that Rob Golding had comments about the word provide and thought there might be a better one, but none of us, including Rob, was ever able to come up with one that others seemed to think is better than provide. If you have a suggestion there, we could we'll be glad to entertain it and discuss it. But we did talk about that quite a bit last week, and I asked for people to suggest alternatives. And in Rob's comments on the list, he, you know, suggested some things, but none of them seemed to click with the whole group. So that's that. It seems to me that understanding that based on approved policy doesn't have to be there, because it's going to have to be that goes without understanding in terms of what we're doing. If there is an RDS, it will have to be built on approved policy. So you're right, it doesn't have to be there. I think some people found it comforting to have it there, and so I would say we leave it in there if there are no strong objections. It sounds like you were okay with that as well. Is your hand still up, Greg, or is that an old hand? If it is still up, feel free to speak.
Chuck, this is Greg again. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I think, you know, for the moment, that's okay. Approved policy. I don't know if there are policies beyond those approved by the board. I think there was mention of registry policies as well. I don't know if that fits in. And as far as provide, you know, in terms of kind of the life cycle of data, providing is definitely a stage. I see Michele suggested manage, and that's kind of a separate stage. You could manage a database and literally provide access to nobody. So I think those are both purposes. You know, managing the database is one purpose, and then providing access to the database is a separate purpose. So I don't know how granular we want to be, but, you know, that's kind of, you collect data, you manage data, you provide access to data. Maybe those are the only three layers to the cake, but we should reflect them all. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. As I recall, some of the discussion last week was indicated that the RDS itself doesn't do any managing. The data that's there can be used by people to manage various things, but it didn't really do that. But that's as just my memory about some of the discussion that occurred last week. So if someone has a so I don't think manage works there, because I don't think the purpose of it may be to assist others in managing certain things, but I'm not sure the RDS itself has a purpose of managing information. But anyway, we can debate that. I want to bring up another point here that we talked about on the leadership team this past week, and that's the term domain contacts. For those that weren't on the call last week, we decided instead of listing all the different types of contacts that there are, whether it be registries, registrars, admin contact, billing contact, technical contact, privacy provider or proxy provider or whatever, to just use that term. Now, I think it was Marika on the leadership team that made a suggestion that we might want to add a footnote to explain what we mean by domain contacts and not necessarily provide an all-inclusive list because there may be new ones in the future, but to explain that all possible domain contacts are meant by that term. Now, is there anybody that would be opposed to adding a footnote like that after domain contacts so that it's clear, especially for those that aren't part of this working group, as they see this document, what we mean by that? Anybody opposed to that? Okay. Let me scroll down, make sure I see if there's any check marks or anything. All right. Good enough. I'm going to suggest that we move on. Never mind. Mark, go ahead.
Sorry, Chuck. I may be splitting hairs here, but I'm not sure, you know, what's the problem we're trying to solve here? Is there... You know, domain contacts to me seems like a fairly catch-all term for, you know, the contact types we have today, and any future contacts we may consider as part of this working group, you know, noting that the EWG spent considerable time on the topic of contacts and have a good deal of recommendations there. So I expect we'll be changing them. But I'm not sure what problem this footnote is trying to solve. It seems pretty clear to me that domain contacts are the domain contacts that are possible.
Well, let me give you an example, Mark. This is Chuck. Like in my mind, I never thought of a registry or registrar as a domain contact, but it could legitimately be. I think that the problem we're trying to solve with a footnote is for those who have different views of what domain contacts are. Like some people would think domain contacts are admin, billing, and technical, and may restrict to that. And in this case, we're not restricting it to that. So by providing a footnote that gives some examples of what that includes, but not limited to, I think will help add clarity there. So I think that's the problem a footnote is trying. Now, I take it you're opposed to adding the footnote. Is that correct?
I don't want to say I'm opposed to it. I don't feel like this statement makes it any more clearer for me. So I get your point, and I get what you're trying to accomplish, but you know we're saying okay, domain contacts. Well, all possible domain contacts. Well, that's a pretty big catch-all, and we're not enumerating them here. So I don't know. I question whether whether it's actually accomplishing what you're trying to accomplish with it.
Okay, thank you. Andrew.
Hi, it's Andrew Sullivan. I'm wondering whether the difficulty here is that we're conflating two classes of contact and not being explicit about it. That is, one class of contacts is contact information directly associated with a domain name registration, and the other is the contact information associated with all of the management activities related to that domain name, or something like that. Because it does seem to me that what we're trying to do is get the superset of the contacts that you would need to know about for the domain name administration itself, plus the contacts necessary to understand about the registration and so on. And in that case, we could put some, you know, words to that effect in this footnote, this proposed footnote, rather than all possible domain name contacts, which I think addresses the previous concern.
Thanks, Andrew. And I think you're right. We're definitely conflating two broad categories of domain contacts. So unless somebody objects, if we add a footnote, putting that in the footnote would seem like a reasonable thing to do. Let's hear from Lisa.
Thanks, Chuck. I just wanted to provide for context for those who weren't on the last call that the way that this particular statement previously read, it actually listed out registries and, sorry, I typed registrars in the chat, but I meant to say registrants. Registries, registrants, and someone had suggested adding privacy proxy providers. And the direction that this group went in last week's call was rather than try to enumerate all the possible contexts that policy might end up defining, to actually just shorten it all to domain contacts. But that created the problem that was just illustrated here, which is that some people read domain contacts to be just admin and technical contact as we have today in who is. So I think the idea of the footnote was to indicate whether the wording of all possible contacts is appropriate, I don't know, but to indicate that domain contacts wasn't intended to be limited to those contacts that exist today.
Thanks, Lisa. This is Chuck. I appreciate that because that really does capture kind of where we were and where we were at last week on the call and why we did this. Marika's asked Andrew a question. Looks like he's responding. I do think, you know, breaking it out the way he suggested might be helpful. For right now, so that we don't spend too much time on number two again, I'm going to suggest that we go ahead and add a footnote of along the lines, breaking it out along the lines like Andrew suggested. There, and I see Maxime is typing the chat as well, and we'll put that in the new red line that will be produced after this meeting, and we can discuss it on the list further. Whether or not the footnote accomplishes what some of us think it might. I don't think it does any harm, let's put it in there for now. Andrew, is that your previous hand, or would you like to speak? Okay, thank you. No problem. We all do it. So, Chuck's still speaking. So let's, unless there are any more comments on number two, let's go to number three. Again, I'll let you look at that rather than reading it for you. And by the way, the same issue comes up with domain contacts in number three, and we could just do an IBID or whatever for the footnote there, or maybe it's not even needed the second time around. Any comments on number three before we go to covering new ground? And let's change where it says based on agreed policy, of course, to based on approved policy.
Can I jump in here? Can you hear me?
You sure can.
It's Stephanie Perrin for the record, and I apologize. The system still doesn't work, so I can't read anything in chat, and I'm having to look at the document that was last sent out by Lisa, so I'm hoping I'm following correctly. First thing is just a plea for some kind of parallel construction in these points. If we're going to start with a purpose of the RDS, can we continue that construction as we go along? I also think it's clearer, but I won't give you the grammatical arguments for why I think it's clearer. So that would be a purpose of RDS, a purpose, one purpose. And
yes.
I'm objecting to the concept of approved policy because agreed policy encompasses policy that's coming from other places. It is not a given that the RDS is only going to include data as agreed or as approved by ICANN. There are other policies and policy in the most broad sense. In other words, if we're not going to put in applicable law, then we have to have a broad construction that allows for that.
Well, of course, Stephanie, this is Chuck. One of the policies that we could recommend is, and it's actually in registry and registrar agreements already, but we could actually, in our work, recommend the policy that means that applicable law needs to be followed.
Right.
So
the problem is that opens up the whole can of worms where applicable law isn't being followed. So what does that actually mean, you know? I think
I don't know.
I think it gets us down rabbit holes.
I didn't hear that.
I think it gets us down some rabbit holes if we do that, because there's quite a range of applicable law that I would argue is not being applied.
Well, okay, Chuck speaking again. Whether it's being applied or not, that's a different issue. That's compliance management. I don't think we can consider developing policy that if we're going to worry about whether it's going to be enforced or not. I think we have to create the policy, and then it needs to be implemented and enforced. But if we go down, it seems to me that's a rat hole we don't want to go down, is whether we think, well, I don't think that's being enforced now, or I don't think it'll be enforced, so we won't do it.
Let me give you an example, Chuck, which
yes,
is why I'm objecting. Stephanie Perrin again, for the record. In the who is conflicts with law, ICANN explicitly tells registrars that they have to show harm, basically, in order to comply with national law. And that particular policy, which is a sort of a key one, we haven't been able to change. So the actual construction of how they show the harm is not congruent with national law. So what we have is ICANN creating a policy that says break the law. And then when you're harmed or caught, then and only then will we exempt you from your contractual requirements. That's a big rat hole, and we don't want to go there.
Well, I this is Chuck again, and I'm going to get to David and Andrew here. But I think what you're talking about is an issue right now, in the sense of I think registrars are reacting to the implementation plan for this very issue, compliance with local laws, and for the same reason you're citing, if I understand the registrars correctly. So I think we're already down that rat hole in terms of current situations. But I still don't see how we can govern our decisions based on that particular argument. It's not our job to manage compliance, but it's our job to recommend policies, and then we're going to have to work on implementation of those policies to ensure that they're enforced. So I guess I'm still a little bit lost in terms of why you're opposed to based on approved policy, but let me go on to a couple other people. David, please.
I really just wanted to clarify, as I guess Stephanie already has, that this issue of in accordance with applicable law is significantly complicated by the fact that there is an ICANN policy in place about how to deal with conflicts with applicable law, and that policy in itself is the subject of some sort of debate and dispute at the moment, and we would not want to it's worth clarifying that to what extent we are taking we are committing to be bound by previous policy work on conflicts with law enforcement or not. Is that sort of issue about how we deal with a conflict in or out of our remit, and are we able to sort of discuss, for example, how that policy might be replaced? And my personal feeling is that, without wanting to sort of jump in and expand our goal in any way, it is within our remit to talk about how creating an RDS that is not in that does comply with all applicable law, we can talk about how that policy might be created. And that in itself may conflict with the way that is dealt with in the specific policy that Stephanie is talking about, which sort of, which can be taken only to applying to previously created, not new policy or something like that. And there is a real issue here, I don't think, about how we, whether or not we are committing to be able to discuss and replace the policies contained in that who is conflicts with law enforcement policies, all I was really trying to say at this point. And my feeling is that we should be able to suggest totally different ways of approaching it than that policy. Thanks. That's all.
Thank you, David. I'm going to ask you a follow-up and also Stephanie. But my opinion, we can recommend changes. I mean, some of the things we recommend may result in changes to previously approved policy. Now, those have to be approved by the GNSO Council and ultimately by the board, but I'm not aware of any constraints that would prevent us from doing that if we reach consensus on that. So my question for you and Stephanie is, am I understanding you to say that you would rather not we remove that qualification based on agreed policy or approved policy? I think Stephanie, you would rather not be there. Are you saying the same thing? And I want you to confirm that. And you may just speak up. I understand the Adobe problems. And then, David, I'd also like you to answer that question.
I think I'd be happier without it, and shorter is always better. Thanks.
Okay, and I think that's what Greg was saying, too. This is Chuck speaking, that he didn't think it needed to be there. So we can still consider that. We can still consider removing it. Okay, David, is that what your is that your view as well?
Yes, that's my view as well.
Thanks, David. Okay, Andrew, your turn.
Thank you. It's Andrew Sullivan. I thought this was early on in the text, but I'm unable to find it, that, you know, there should just be a sentence that says, none of this is intended to recommend policy that in any way is inconsistent with local law, and where such local law and any policy is in tension, then local law wins. And I thought that was something that we'd, for some reason, I believe that was already included in early text as a sort of rider before all of the all of the details.
It was.
Am I able to find it?
Yeah, it's not there anymore.
Well,
it was.
Oh.
Okay. And
so it was there, and I've missed it. Okay.
Yeah. No,
but
you're correct.
It seems to me that you know, this is almost a self-evident disclaimer that really needs to be at the top, and I don't understand how we can shrug that off. So that seems to me to be the way out of this, that we state, you know, as a as an overriding principle, that you know, national law automatically applies in any registry registrar, or rather any registry darn it, I hate these terms. Registry registrar arrangement, or any registrar registrant relationship, and there's no way to avoid that implication of national law as long as one participant is involved. I think we should, you know, state that as a disclaimer, not a principle of what we should do, but rather a straightforward acknowledgement that we can't get outside of the legal frameworks in which individuals are working, given that we are not actually working under some national framework. We're ultimately bound by a series of contract law jurisdictions. And what we have to do is present the minimal acceptable conditions for most people and acknowledge that some of those conditions are not going to be acceptable to some jurisdiction, and then those jurisdictions are simply not going to be able to conform to this policy. But we are not, we're not some sort of international law creating body.
Thanks, Andrew. Chuck again. And I believe where that was in what we previously called prerequisites for registration data, registration directory services. And we, if I recall, and I'm not real clear on this, my memory's a little bit fuzzy on this, that it seems to me we decided that that wasn't so much a part of this purpose statement as it is a requirement that we need to include in our when we can start deliberating on requirements. If somebody can help me out on that in terms of memory, that would be appreciated. But for now, go ahead, Lisa.
Sure, Chuck. Trying to reassemble the threads myself. Lisa Pfeiffer for the record. What was done in the previous call was that we deleted the overall goals for the statement of purpose, but we did retain a section on goals for each RDS purpose, and point three under the goals for each RDS purpose is to provide a framework that enables compliance with applicable laws. That text is in this document still. in the section prior to the one that we've been looking at.
Thank you. Maybe it'd be helpful to scroll back up to that on the screen. Yeah, there it is. You know, I just looked at that and I blew right past it. So it is still there. It worded a little differently, but if you look at the goals for each RDS purpose, Roman numeral 3, it says what Lisa just said. So it is there. Okay? Now, let me let Greg talk, and then I'd like to close off number 3 if we can. And
we can,
including Stephanie's
and David Justin.
Go ahead, Greg.
Thanks. It's Greg Shatton. Thanks, Chuck. Greg Shatton for the record. Just briefly, and more responding to what David's and I think Stephanie's point was, with regard to the based on approved policy, I think that if we're going to have it in one place, we should have it in both places. If it provides comfort in one place, it provides comfort in both places. I don't think you can distinguish between them. And even if it is sort of a kind of surplusage, it at least, or states the obvious, it at least states that we're not going to go beyond policy, which, is, if not, if self-evident, still comforting. So I might as well just keep it in both places, for the current purposes and at this time. Thanks.
Chuck, are you still there? We cannot hear you. You may be on mute.
I'm sorry. One of the things I discovered was that when Greg and I are both have our mics open, we get the echo, and so I muted myself and forgot. So what I was asking was if you're supportive, no wonder I didn't get any response, if you're supportive of leaving based on approved policy in purposes 2 and 3, put a green check mark in the Adobe room, please. And when we get to oppose, Stephanie, you, of course, can verbalize that. But I'll get there next. Okay, so I'm seeing 3 people, definitely 4. 5 or 6 or so. Okay. So now please remove your green, or you can leave your green check marks there. Now, those who are opposed to having that there, in other words, you would like to delete based on approved policy in 2 and 3, would you put a red X in the Adobe? And Stephanie, I assume we can count you as a red X there, even though we can't see it. And David, okay.
Yes, I'm a red X. Thanks.
Okay, so we've got a couple, and then a lot of you apparently don't. There's a new red X, so we're kind of splitting it. Okay. For right now, let's put that in parentheses or brackets in both 2 and 3, noting that there's some disagreement whether we need that or not. Okay? All right, you can remove your X's and check marks, and let's move on to number 4. It's a new number 4 from the previous version, so go down to number 4. And Stephanie, since you're not able to function in Adobe, I'm going to – well, I see you're in Adobe. but I don't know if you can read what's... Can you, Stephanie, are you able to read what's on the screen in Adobe?
No, Chuck, sadly.
Okay, that's the only reason I want to know. I don't want to read it if you can yourself, okay? But I will read it. So number four was one proposed by Alex, and I'm glad Alex is on the call. He proposed this a couple weeks ago. The purpose of collecting, maintaining, and providing access to GTLD registration data is to provide a record of domain name registrations. Now, let me just make a quick edit to this, following Stephanie's suggestion that we have parallel construction. You recall that when Alex did this, we still had the wording as you see at the beginning of this one, and we can make it a purpose of the RDS is just like the others. But the main point here is to provide a record of domain name registrations. Let's discuss that. And Alex, would you like to make your comments are shown there, but what if you would be willing to just give us a brief explanation verbally as to why you suggested that, that would be appreciated.
Yeah, sure, Chuck. This is Alex. Yeah, it was a few weeks ago now, but I think, you know, I had tried to, kind of pop up one level and just kind of think holistically of what we were trying to do. And this came to mind. I think the change you just made is makes sense. A purpose, clearly, using the same construct there is a good idea. But essentially, I think, you know, this is a good high-level purpose of what the RDS, is currently used for and will be used for in the purpose. But I thought I'd post it for consideration. Thanks.
Thank you, Alex. And it seems to me, and I welcome others to correct me if I'm seeing this wrong, that it is saying something different than the first three, even though there's kind of overlap in all of them to some extent. Let's discuss it. Mark, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Mark. I guess my first thought is reading this, the original statement, the purpose of collecting, maintaining, and providing access to GTLD registration data is to provide a record of domain name ownership. That has one meaning, and the edits you made actually change the meaning altogether. So you're defining, the statement originally was defining the purpose of collecting, maintaining, and providing access to GTLD registration data, which is not the same as the purpose or a purpose of the RDS. So I think those edits have actually, those were fairly material edits to the statement itself. And I actually think that goes backwards. That takes us a step backwards, looking at the original versions of purposes 1, 2, 3, and 4. I think we had originally had something along those lines. We said a system to collect and maintain information about GTLD registrations. I think that was in the original language of purpose of the first purpose, or maybe it was the second purpose. I'm trying to read through the edit notes on here to find it, but I think this actually reintroduces the one of the original statements we had gotten away from. So I'm sorry. I look at this as a little bit of a step backwards. We're rehashing ideas we've already discussed.
Well, okay, Mark. This is Chuck. Let me respond. First of all, I want to correct what's in the Adobe right now on number four. So it's a a purpose of RDS is, and it should be, and correct me, Alex, if the edit I tried to make, if this isn't what you agreed with me on, but I think it should say a purpose of RDS is to provide a record of domain registrations. So a lot of that's in there now. And the reason I did that is because you're right, Mark. We used to, the way the earlier ones were worded was the purpose of collecting, maintaining, and providing access. And we actually decided to move away from that construct and to just do, like you now see on 1, 2, and 3, a purpose of RDS is to provide a record of domain registration. So you're right, if we left that in there, and the reason that happened is just timing. Alex was just using, and correct me, Alex, if I'm saying this wrong, Alex was just using the same wording that we had on those earlier ones. So, Alex, go ahead and
Chuck,
comment.
Yeah, this is Alex. So I think looking at the the details for this purpose, if I remember, it was thought to I think it was Lisa who reminded us of the board resolution, which asked us to define the purpose of GTLD registration data, right, which is separate from or different from, you know, RDS itself. So I think if you look at my original purpose, it's focused on GTLD registration data, not so much in RDS in general. I suppose we could wordsmith it to be that, but I think my original intent was specific to defining the purpose of why we need to or should collect GTLD registration data. Does that make sense?
I think it does. This is Chuck. So you would say that a purpose of GTLD registration data is to provide a record of domain name registrations. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. I think that's closer to my original intent.
That's fine. But I want to make sure we capture what you so in the others we said a purpose of registration data or registration directory services is, you're saying, put GTLD registration data. I think that's probably still okay, but I'll throw that open to discussion in terms of that. Now, but the important thing in my mind is that is to provide a record of domain registrations. Do people agree or disagree with that, that's a purpose of registration data? Andrew, go ahead.
Hi, it's Andrew Sullivan. I keep putting my hand up and down because I don't actually understand this discussion. It's the question whether the RDS is supposed to provide information about current registrations, or is it something else?
I think that's it. That doesn't necessarily have to be current. I mean, it could be we could end up with a RDS that shows some past information too, but the point is it's a record of domain registrations.
So that is, in fact, bound up in my question. It seems to me that one possible requirement here is that it provides information about whether a given name is registered, and a second question is whether a given name has been registered. Those are two different issues, I think. And my opinion is that at least the first of those is almost certainly a purpose, and it's an open question whether the second one is.
Do you think that the second one is not?
I simply don't know. It seems to me that it's a possible thing, but this is essentially the distinction between who is and who was.
Right. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. And that's going to, I think, have to fall out when we're talking about RDS requirements. So we may not recommend that there be any who was in there. But this seems generic enough that a record of domain registration, what that record is going to be determined by any policies that we recommend. And we're back to the qualifier of based on approved policy, but that's another issue that we won't go back to right now. So is there anybody opposed to the formulation for number 4 that's on the screen in Adobe right now? And Stephanie, for your benefit, it says, a purpose of GTLD registration data is to provide a record of domain registrations. Is that an old hand, Andrew?
If I could jump in, Chuck, I think
sure.
It's good
go ahead,
enough.
Stephanie.
It's good enough at this point, and we need to save some time to fight over item 5.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that, Mark.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Mark. I don't have any issues with number 4, but I want to jump on something Alex said. I think Alex introduced a new purpose that isn't covered by anything we've discussed before, and that's, I think we focused our conversation so far on discussions about, domains that are registered. And, Alex pointed out that that's not the only purpose. There's another purpose in identifying if a string is registered or available for registration. If it's not registered at all, I think that's a purpose. I'm thinking maybe that's a new purpose altogether that we haven't covered so far. Thank you.
So, Mark, a question for you. Don't you think that the way this number 4 is worded, that it could be encompassed in number 4? It just says provide a record of domain name registrations. Doesn't get any more specific than that. It seems to me that what you just said could be included in that. Now, I'm not opposed to adding another one, but just in my own personal observation, it seems like that's broad enough that it could be inclusive in that. But if there's value in making it more specific and you want to suggest that, I will take that as a suggestion.
I'm thinking as I go here, and I think maybe it's broad enough to provide a record of domain name registrations, but maybe what's implied there but not stated is provide a record of domain name registrations or if the registration doesn't exist or the string is available for registration. I think I think the point there is one of the most common use cases for who is today, frankly, is to check if a string is available for registration. Right? It's a very common use of who is, and so I would assume that would be a use of RDS as well, is to check is the string available, and so provide a record of domain name registration. That's true if the string is not available and it's registered, but it would also provide an indication of a string that's not a domain name registration. And again, I apologize. I'm thinking on my feet here a little bit as I go, and I'm not sure that was completely clear. But
so let me try and accommodate what you're talking about and see if others support it. So what if we were to add to number 4 a comma at the end of that statement, and then said including whether or not names are available.
It's Stephanie. Chuck, can I jump in here?
Sure.
Is it not the case that if a name is registered, it's either not available or you're going to have to make an offer? If it isn't in the list, i.e. purpose is to provide a record of registrations, if something hasn't been registered, it's available, right? Except
that would be my assumption. That's why I made the statement I did about it being broad enough. But if it's helpful to add the clarification, I don't have any problem with that.
I would resist any attempt to try to imagine names that are not available but are not registered, such as, I don't know, country code names, you know, second-level strings that people are trying to protect, because we do not want to broaden the RDS into including everybody's trademark that can't be registered. Okay? See where I'm heading with this?
Yes, I do.
Well, let's keep it black and white.
So you would leave it just as it is without adding anything?
Yeah, I think as soon as we start adding qualifiers to it, there will be exceptions to that. Oh, yeah, it's not in there, but that doesn't mean it's available.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Andrew.
Hi, it's Andrew Sullivan again. Thank you. I proposed something in the chat for how to word this. There is a potential issue here because of so-called variant names. So so it does seem that distinguishing among available versus registered versus not available for registration is a possible a distinction that we want to make. And I will tell you all that not available for registration could well be a useful output from a variant system. That is, you've got, you know, different internationalized domain names, and one of them is a variant of the other. We just set aside whether variants are real or not. You know, it's useful information to know that some so-called variant is not available for registration to you because the registering party exerts a claim over a different string because of some other thing that they've registered. So it does seem to me that we've got to have a sort of sort of three-valued information that comes out of this, and it also seems to me that that really is a fundamental value of the RDS.
Thanks, Andrew. And my response to that, and this is my personal response, okay, is, and I think I'm having more sympathy for what Stephanie was saying. So when we say whether it's registered, whether it's available for registration or unavailable for registration, we're starting to get into requirements and saying, okay, so where does the reserve name? Does the RDS then have to show reserve names, names that aren't, that no one's allowed to register, or names that the registry reserves? Or I think Stephanie's right that as soon as we start going down the path of being too specific here, we're getting ahead of the game in terms of requirements. And where would reserved names fit? I guess it would be an unavailable for registration. So we're now saying the purpose of the RDS is to show what names are reserved. That could be a requirement we decide later on. I don't know that we can say right now that's the purpose of an RDS. But I'm just one person. Even though I'm the chair, I'm just one person. So I will go with the group on this, but I wanted to point that out. Greg, you're up.
Thank you, Greg Shatton again. Let me turn down my speaker volume. Maybe that'll help Chuck's echo. I think we're kind of creating a slippery slope that doesn't really exist. I don't think anybody who has suggested that a purpose is to determine availability is really suggesting an absolute kind of clearance as to availability against reserved names and blocked names and, you know, other such things. You know, the fact of the matter is, you know, if you go on a Who Is Today on GoDaddy and you put in, you know, scamalangandingdongdaboo.com and put it into Who Is and, you know, press the little button, what you get back is, yes, your domain is available. Buy it before someone else does. The fact of the matter is that people use this to check, quote-unquote, availability. Then they see it's, you know, available, which doesn't mean absolutely registrable. That's not the same thing. It's not in the Who Is database. It is not registered to another registrant. So maybe the problem here is that we're defining availability, or that, you know, we're trying to be too accurate in defining the term availability. This is just essentially a knockout type of search. You know that it's not registered to another registrant, whoever that person might be, because you look at Who Is and it's null. There's nothing in the database to match that string. That's all that people who are talking about availability mean by availability. Nobody's suggesting this should contain all sorts of, it should contain, you know, non-domain name registration data sets. Thanks.
So, Greg, this is Chuck. What would you do with number four as part of the end of the screen right now?
I'd pretty much leave it as is. I mean, if we want to put a footnote that says availability means that the string does not appear in the Who Is database and does not imply that the name is actually registrable, technically registrable, putting aside claim notices and all that other stuff. Just
thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Okay. As you can tell.
Okay. Notice that his audio is off now, so I'm not echoing. So thanks, Greg. Let's go to McKaylee.
thanks, Chuck. McKaylee here. I think there's a bit of a confusion between what a Who Is lookup is and what a domain check / domain availability lookup is. They're two totally different things. If you go to a registrar's website, be that GoDaddy's, ours, or anybody else's, we are not using Who Is to see if the domain is available or not. We're using a combination of EPP and other things to see if a domain is available for registration or not. Using Who Is for that is not reliable for a multitude of reasons. I mean, there's been quite a bit of backwards and forwards in the chat around this. I mean, there's some of the registries will put reserved names in Who Is marked as reserved, but not all of them do that. Some of them will put in other kinds of statuses into Who Is, but not all of them do that. So as a registrar, we have to load lists of names into our back-end systems in order to give people as correct an answer to the question, can I register this domain, as possible. So, I mean, I think there's a confusion between Who Is, as in the technical Who Is service, and domain availability checks. And confusing the two is not helping. I mean, for some registries, for example, you know, we use things like a domain availability check that just gives you a binary yes, no type answer. using WHOIS is not reliable. It is not reliable, and I just wish people would stop saying that you can use that for availability. You can't.
Thank you, Michele. Mark.
Hey, Chuck. It's Mark again. I think I inadvertently opened a little bit of a can of worms there, and I apologize to everybody for speaking without thinking through what I was going to say first. I agree with a lot of what people have said here, including Michele. I think I think I've been convinced by the conversation that the purpose of RDS is to provide a record of domain name registrations. And that's it. Any assumptions you make about things that are not in the RDS, you do so at your own risk. I think that's the purpose is not to provide information about non-domain name registrations. It's just to provide information about domain name registrations, and that's it. So I apologize if I took us off on a little bit of a tangent there. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Okay, so let's look at number four, the way it's worded now on the screen. And Stephanie, that qualifier has been taken out. So it says the purpose of GTLD registration data is to provide a record of domain registrations, period. Is there anybody that is opposed to that as a purpose? Would you put a red X in Adobe or speak up if you can't put a red X in? I'm not seeing any red X's. So I'm going to conclude for now that that's okay. Now, we only have about 5 minutes, so I at least want to allow a few very brief comments on number five. And this, Lisa added this in the chat, I think, last week, based on discussions we had last week. So it says, the purpose of RDS is to provide an authoritative source of accurate data. And Greg, I see you disagreed with number four. Is that correct?
Yes, I do disagree with the removal of that. I think we're ignoring the real world, and maybe people shouldn't be looking at WHOIS to see if they are out of luck in looking at potential domain names. The fact of the matter is they do, and if there is some other availability tool that isn't WHOIS, maybe people need trained to go there, but that's a maybe we need to look at that and how does that interact with the RDS, if at all. The bottom line is that people who are looking to register a domain or five domains or 10,000 domains, maybe those who are looking to register 10,000 domains have other tools at their fingertips, but somebody who's looking to see whether bumpcitydrugs.com is available because that's what they want to call their website, because that's their new little business. A lot of them go to WHOIS. So that's that's the issue. So, and I think that's just the reality of how people use this, potential registrants of all types. It's not trademark owners. It can be buygoodstuffhere.com. This is just a real world issue of ignoring the fact that people are going to WHOIS to do this. I don't think helps us unless we provide an alternative in the world for all the people who want to register more domain names. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. This is Chuck, and I don't know why we didn't get the echo there. That was nice. But I would say that number four is the way number four is worded doesn't at all prevent someone from using the RDS for that purpose. I think all that most people are saying in the chat and verbally is that that's not really the best way to do it, and so it's not a purpose because of that, we wouldn't call that a purpose of the RDS. If it's used for that, there's nothing to prevent that, and we will have the option when we develop requirements to, in fact, put that in as a requirement if we think it should be. Let's take a quick look at five. A purpose of RDS is to provide an authoritative source of accurate data. Now, accuracy, we've talked a lot on the list and over the last few weeks, and certainly on the call last week, and all Lisa was doing, and Lisa, you're welcome to comment if you want to add anything to what I'm saying, was to throw this out as a way of dealing with the concern by many in terms of accurate data. We have time for a few comments on this. Anybody want to comment on what is now shown as purpose number five? Go ahead, Mark.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Mark again. I guess I was kind of hoping somebody else would jump in first, but since nobody else is, I'll start. I guess I don't agree that our purpose of RDS is to provide an authoritative source of accurate data. I think I'm not saying we want it to provide inaccurate data. You know, I'm not advocating for bad data. You know, I certainly don't want what I'm saying to be construed as that. But RDS is, I think the purpose of RDS is to provide information about what the data is. What data is in the system, whether it's accurate or not. I think there are other mechanisms that have the purpose of getting to accurate data or ensuring that the data is accurate. Who is accuracy program, in fact, that's the purpose of getting accurate data. RDS, the purpose of RDS is just to to provide, to display the data that is. You mentioned that we've had this accurate discussion a number of times now I've objected every time. I think it's just to display the data. It doesn't have a direct role in the accuracy of the data. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Anybody disagree with that? Speak up, please.
It's Stephanie. If I may jump in here, I agree totally, and I want to pick on authoritative. Even in the EWG, I think we never got past agreement that the registrars were the authoritative source of data. So there's no way the WHO will ever be the authoritative source of the data. It's a record. It's not the authoritative source of accurate data. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. Greg.
Thanks. Greg Shatton again. I am in favor of five, and we can quibble about the words authoritative, what that means. But clearly we should be striving for accuracy, not striving for inaccuracy. This is not to say that we're going to reach perfection. There are clear limits in a real world scenario as to what how much accuracy can be achieved, but in terms of we want good data in there. I don't think it would be acceptable to registrars if the data that was needed to run people's credit cards was inaccurate, beyond whatever tolerances are built into that. So it should be the same. And we've had long discussions about fault tolerance of accuracy and all that, and we're not talking in absolutes here, at least we shouldn't be, but we're also, the idea of trying of kind of avoiding accuracy as a feature of this, again, just seems bizarre. I know people don't, there are people who for various reasons don't want an accurate database. I continue to not get it as to why that shouldn't be dealt with here. And in terms of authoritative, you know, it is supposed to be the one database where everyone's entering stuff. So to that extent, it is the authoritative database, just like the list of, you know, attorneys registered to practice in New York State that's kept by the, appropriate, court body is the authoritative list. There is a place where, stuff goes, and this is, it's got to be good stuff, and it needs to go somewhere. That's it. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. Chuck again.
Yeah.
And thanks,
whether it's
Greg,
one database
Chuck
or many.
And,
yeah.
I'm going to go to Andrew, and
I'm going to very brief comments because we're over time.
I want to point out that I don't think anybody has said we should have data. Nobody's advocating an act. So let's be clear on that. And Andrew, did you? You took your hand down. If you really still want to speak, put it back up. Susan, go ahead.
Just say that I would not feel comfortable removing five, and I could go either way on authoritative, but it should. A purpose of RDS is to provide a source of accurate data is imperative to our work.
Okay, Andrew, go ahead. Thanks, Susan.
I thought that we were heading in the right direction, and then we were not, so I put my hand back up. I'm sorry. I think that this item 5 is incredibly dangerous, particularly as stated here. If we put as a sort of preamble statement that, we assume that data in the RDS ought to be as accurate as possible, then I'm okay with it. But I do not believe that this is a purpose. I think this is incredibly dangerous statement of purpose because it lends itself to enforcement practices on the part of ICANN and registrars and registries and so on that are incompatible with the way that the actual DNS system works. We cannot conceivably claim that the purpose of the RDS is to provide an authoritative source of accurate data. At the very best, it can provide an authoritative source of the best data we have. And if we are going to include in this working group's output a number of requirements that entail accuracy provisions, I think that we're well beyond our remit.
Thank you, Andrew. This is Chuck again, and we've got to wrap it up. Sorry for going over. We're going to continue this one next week. Our meeting next week will be at our regular time, and the comments that have been shared will be added to the comments in the table here for next week. A red line will be put out using the latest language, the latest changes for the previous parts of the document. In particular, the only thing we changed tonight was in this last section. And so the rest of it will stay the same, and then the comments will be added for number 5. So number 5 will be continued next week. Very quickly, Marika, can you give us a quick update on the planning for Hyderabad?
Yes, Chuck. So this is Marika. Just to note that the schedule has been published, and our meeting is, as confirmed before, starting on day one at 9 o'clock in the morning. I think we're planning to run till 1, although I think the schedule currently lists us until 12:15. If I'm not mistaken, I think the meeting is taking place in Hall 6, and staff will be working with the leadership team on developing the agenda and related materials for our meeting.
Thank you very much, Marika. Again, I apologize for going over, but thanks for the good discussion. We made some I think, reasonably good progress today. Please continue the discussion on the list, especially after the new version is sent out, so that we can hopefully save time on that, on our discussions in our meeting next week. With that said, is there anything else I need to cover? If not, meeting adjourned. Thanks.